Appreciated the testimonies. What God's doing and what God's accomplishing and what God's helping. And that's what testimony service is for, is just not only to encourage you to verbally voice what God's been doing for you, but also to encourage the fellow believers and give them a little picture into what God's been doing in your personal life. And if we don't share about our struggles, if we don't share about our victories, we'll never know really what God's doing for each other. And that's what testimony service is for. And I appreciate those that have participated in that and putting forth and just sharing with the church on what's kind of going on in the hearts and lives of the members of Calvary Lighthouse Church. Amen. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. I was told by pastor that he took up some of my time this morning. So I don't know what that leaves me with tonight. So I'll share what's on my heart. And if it went over, then all I can say is pastor did too. So otherwise, if it's shorter, then you can say thank you, Jesus. And mark that down in your book of remembrance of short sermons from Brother Jason. So we'll see which one it falls into. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you've been speaking to us to God, Lord, and the way the service has been going, the songs that have been sung, the testimonies that have been spoken. I thank you to God that you're moving in the hearts of your believers, Lord, here tonight. I pray to God you'll minister, Lord, to my heart, Lord, and help me to minister this message tonight, Lord. And I pray to God it'll encourage us, edify us, Lord, strengthen us, and continue, Lord, to push us on towards your kingdom. Lord, I love you, and I thank you, and I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. From the testimonies I have gathered, that there have been some things stirred up this past week. And for a little while this evening, I just want to preach on the thought stirred up. Now, Brother Matthew was talking about losing his keys. I had a similar instance happen on Saturday. I didn't lose my keys. I just got lost in conversation. I left Owosso, Oklahoma from a meeting with a potential house customer. And we had a potentially upset customer. And I got on the phone with them and began to talk with them. And between Owosso and Claymore, I was supposed to stop and pick our kids up from Brother Rick and Cindy's house. And I was also supposed to go get dog food for the dog setters, where I was leaving the dogs at. And I got on the phone and began to talk. And then I got off the phone with the customer, and I called the subcontractor, and I began to talk to him too. And as I was on the phone with him, I finally realized where I had stopped. And I was stopped in my driveway. And I sat there, and I was just like, wow. I don't remember driving through Claymore. I vaguely remember the drive home. There may have been a lot of hacked off drivers. I don't know. But I was so engrossed in the conversation and what was transpiring talking on the phone that I was kind of on autopilot. And it's a very weird feeling when you arrive somewhere and you're just not really sure how you got there. There were some things that had stirred me up. They had got my emotions running high, got my passion stirred up, maybe got a little irritation stirred up. Whatever the point was, I have been so stirred to the point that I was only focused on one thing, and nothing else mattered except for that one thing. As I sat there and I was studying this afternoon and just reading through scriptures and reading some devotionals and as I began to think about this and I began to just think about the way the week had went, things we've been dealing with, and I began to realize that as Christians and as believers and even as people, we get stirred up all the time. We do. We get stirred up all the time. We have been busy this week trying to get ready for the trip. We have also been helping with some of the funeral stuff with Grandpa Kenneth. I know Sister Sarah's been laboring on a PowerPoint slide presentation. And there's just been a lot of things going on that keeps me stirred up. I don't, maybe you're not this way. Maybe you don't lay down at night and close your eyes and your mind's just going 100 miles an hour. I don't, maybe I'm the only one that does that. Maybe you're so tired that when you close your eyes and it's just, you're just gone. And Sister Sarah may argue with me and, I don't, maybe I'm sleeping and my mind's still racing. I don't know. But there's things that constantly keep us in a state of sometimes confusion, sometimes irritation, sometimes we're stirred up because we're happy. There's just all kinds of things that happen that begins to stir our spirit up. And as I begin to read here in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, as Paul begins to write to Timothy, and he begins to instruct him, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." This, I'm a questioning type of person. This to me generates a question. Timothy is a pastor. Timothy is pastoring a church. He's a minister. Yes, he is a young minister, but he is in a leadership position. And he is in a position which requires him to be constantly giving to those that are around him. If anybody was staying stirred up, Brother Timothy was probably staying stirred up. You pastor a church, I'm just going to tell you right now, you stay stirred up. There's no lack of things to keep your attention. There's no lack of things to keep you from being active. There's no lack of things to keep your mind from running in 100 different directions. And there's nothing that keeps you from letting your spirit be stirred up. But yet I find that Paul begins to write to Timothy and he begins to instruct him to remember to stir something specific up. He says, and he goes on to say, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, if I exhibited anything on Saturday, it was that, not that of a sound mind. Because I kind of blacked out there for a little while and don't really remember anything. But what I begin to find is that what Paul begins to tell Timothy is the fact that in the middle of life, in the middle of living for God, in the middle of ministry, in the middle of going to work every day, in the middle of raising a family, so forth and so on, we begin to find that as human beings, we stay constantly stirred up. But a lot of times, the things that stay stirred up are not productive to the furthering of the kingdom of God. What we begin to find is that activity is not always productivity. But sometimes we begin to mistake activity for productivity. And this is something that hits me hard sometimes, because sometimes it seems that you run and you do things and you just throw yourself into work and throw yourself into getting stuff done. And you spend a whole day, it seems, getting absolutely nothing done. But you've been busy all day. And you come home and you're exhausted, but if you put down on paper what you accomplished, it would be little of nothing. Those are days you want to avoid. Not only as somebody who's working, but also as somebody who's just existing. What I begin to find is that there are ways to accomplish tasks that involves tapping into deeper qualities within us that make us productive, not necessarily just active. God places within us gifts, abilities, and talents that He desires us to use. So what I find in Exodus 35 and 21, this is the, as I begin to look up the word stir and up, this is what you would call the law of first mention. This is the first time these words were ever mentioned together. Exodus 35 and 21, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." What happened here? Well, Moses came to the people with a need. And the need was, we're going to build a house for the Lord. It's going to be called the tabernacle. Now, we don't have anything to build the house of the Lord, but here's a whole list of what we are going to need. And what I find is that the people that have been living in the wilderness, the people whose existence had solely relied on God, we find that something new was stirred within them that caused them to begin to dig deep into the things that they had and begin to bring them forth and give them to Moses and give them to the nation of Israel so that they could begin to build God a house. Now, were they stirred to be active, or were they stirred to be productive? I want to read on. We can move on to verse number 26. It says, "And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." So what does goat's hair have to do with anything? They begin to sew the drapes, the coverings, the walls, so to speak. We look at, well, we're going to build a church, and we don't think about sitting down and spinning with goat's hair and making cloths and you know, a tent. But that's what they begin to do. What I begin to find is that as there something begin to be stirred within them, something that had previously never been touched before, as it began to stir up within them, they begin to offer, and their spirit was made willing, and they begin to bring into the work of the Lord. They begin to put forth the things that were theirs and put it into the work of the Lord. But not only that, but they begin to work on the tabernacle. Why did they want to work? Didn't they already have enough to do? Sometimes this is a question we ask ourselves when it comes time to work for the Lord. And when it comes time to take on extra acts of ministry. Sometimes we look at it and we're like, I'm stirred up enough already. I don't feel like there's much more to stir. What I find is that whatever began to stir within them stirred them to work and get behind what God had asked the children of Israel to do. We move on to Exodus 36 verse 2. It says, "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up, to come unto the work to do it." So not only were the women's hearts stirred, but we find that the men's hearts were stirred. And if you continue reading in your history, you're going to find that God had specifically given specific individuals specific skills to be used in the construction of the tabernacle, and they didn't even know it until the need arose. And as their hearts began to stir within them, and they came and they began to put forth their hand into the work, all of a sudden we find that certain individuals begin to stand out because God had placed these skills and abilities and talents within them for a time in which He was going to call for them to stir something up that was past what had ever been stirred before, because He was preparing them for a certain time and a task and a purpose. And so we find that during this time, the whole nation nation of Israel united, and they were stirred to a point that they began to put forth effort into building a tabernacle for the Lord. It was a glorious time in Israel during this time. And what I find is that there was a lot of individuals who began to stir things up that they didn't know that they had. We can read in Haggai, and I'm not going to go there, but we can read in Haggai where God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel to build the house of the Lord. And if you go find that and you look that scripture up, that is the exact term that is used. He stirred his spirit. What's this telling me? What does this mean? What does this speak to us? I've already talked that we stay stirred pretty much all the time. We stay stirred up. Did these people just sit around and do nothing? Did they not have things to do? If you begin to read in the book of Haggai, you find that actually they were very active. They were active in building their own houses. They were active in building their own stuff. They were active in making sure their own provisions were taken care of. They were active in everything except for what God had asked them to do. So, in a sense, they were staying plenty stirred up. But they were forgetting to stir up the gift of God within them. And as I sat there and I began to think about that this afternoon, and I began to read some things about activity, productivity, about time. And something that I look at is I look at time management. And I begin to read an article about time management, begin to realize that time management is something that is just totally retarded and dumb. We can't manage time. There's only one time manager. I don't know if you realize that or not. That's God. God instituted time. Time was given to us to enjoy. And do you know how you enjoy time? By prioritizing what you do with the time that's been given to you. When we begin to stir up the gift of God within us, we begin to find that just being stirred is not enough. But when we begin to stir up God's gift, we begin to see His plan and His purpose and His goal. 2 Peter 1:13 says this, "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." This is Peter talking to the church that was a long time ago. What I find is that even in the middle of serving God and going to church and being a preacher or being a Sunday school teacher or being in any type of office or just being a lay member of the church, I begin to find that there comes a point in time where we have to remember to stir up the gift of God. Begin to stir up what God has given us. Begin to stir up the talents, the gifts, the abilities, and the purpose and the visions that He's called us to. We've got to stir that up, because if we don't bring to surface all the good qualities we have, and we try to go through life and try to do something for God with what we constantly stir up on a daily basis. And what we stir up on a daily basis most of the time is not the best that we have. Most of the time, what we stir up on a daily basis is we just get what is ever brought to the top and we skim it off and we take off and we run with it. Brother Larry, I found that sometimes that ain't my best. But what I do find is that when we get in the presence of God and we begin to allow God to bring to remembrance the gifts that He's given us, and we begin to allow Him to stir it up within us, I begin to find that it begins to bring a renewed focus on our goal and our mission. 2 Peter 3:1 says this, "This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir you up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Stirred up, church. Stirred up. So many times, I find myself being stirred, but I'm just not stirred up. And I don't know, I kind of get some mental images when I think of this. When I think of stirred, I picture a spoon in a cup going like this. I like to make pancakes at home. And we was driving home today. We always have the joke of where we're eating on Sunday. And we're either going out to eat or we're eating at Mama's Cafe. And you know, that's something that's been passed down from what I've been told. And I'm sure what you tell your kids too. And of course, our kids are like, oh, we got to eat at Mama's Cafe. Because they want to go out to eat and it's all fun. Well, today, Weston, he's like, I want to eat. Well, what exactly did he say? He said, Daddy's Pancake Cafe. So I want to eat Daddy's Pancake Cafe. I'm telling you that to get to a point. When you stir the pancake batter, you don't stir it like this. At least I don't. I stir it like this. This takes too long. And maybe, I don't know, I found a secret. The less you beat pancake batter, the fluffier the pancakes are. And I found that when I go like this, I beat it too much. But if I take it and I scoop what's on the bottom and I bring it to the top, I find that I mix it so much better, so much faster, and I achieve a better pancake. So my mind, when I begin to think of how we get stirred up during the week, I think that we just get all agitated and we get a froth stirred up on the top and we feel like sometimes we do a lot, but then when we sit down and we try to put down on paper what we actually did for God today, we find that we did a lot of busyness, but we didn't accomplish a lot of business. And what I begin to find is that when God begins to work in our lives and He begins to set us down and we begin to think about, we begin to remember what our goals are, what our focus should be on, we begin to find that God wants us to stir deep down within us, to begin to bring up some stuff that's been sitting on the bottom and begin to bring it back to the top so that we can begin to be productive in His kingdom, not just active. God calls us to a renewed focus on His goals and His mission. And there was so many scriptures as I began to look this up this afternoon. There were so many scriptures where God stirred the hearts of people, stirred the hearts of men and women. Sometimes He stirred it for bad. Sometimes He stirred up some evil kings to go judge Israel. But the recurring theme was that for somebody to take action on something, they've got to get stirred up about it. You will never take action or you will never take interest unless you become passionate about it. And the only way to become passionate about something is to get stirred up about it. How did I drive for 35 minutes and not know what was going on? I was passionate about the conversation I was having because it was important. Man, if I could get so zoned out for the things of God like that, that I could block every attack of the enemy out. I could begin to block every distraction in the world. Be so zoned into what God has called me to do. And all of a sudden I look up and I realize, hey, what happened? How did I get here? And I begin to find that I was so passionate about what I was doing for God that it had stirred me up to the point there was nothing else that mattered. And I got from where I was to over here. And I accomplished something. All because I got stirred up by the gift of God. And in so doing, it takes what's on top, shifts it down to the bottom, mixes it back up again, and makes it something new and unique for you. Amen. Stand to your feet this evening. Sister Sarah, come back to the piano. So I want to challenge us this next week. He said, well, Brother Jason, you're going to camp meeting. I was going to walk in there and it's already going to be all stirred up. You know, I could go through the whole time I'm at camp meeting and not get stirred up. We can do the same thing when we come to the house of God. We can go through a whole church service or two or three church services and we can smile and we can enjoy it, but we can not be stirred up. What I begin to find is that when we stir up the gift of God within us, it's not something accidental, it's something intentional, and we do it because we know that we need it. What's the Bible say? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, shame on you. That's not what it says, but yet sometimes that's the way we think about it. But it says it's sin. To know to do something that God has asked us to do and not do it, it's sin. What does sin do? Well, it separates us from God. How do we expect to get stirred up for God if we're not willing to do what God's asking us to do? We can't expect to have God's blessing if we're not willing to do God's asking. It's real simple, church. In fact, it's so simple, I think that we just try to push it out and not think about it. But what I find is that when you stir God's gift up within you, it challenges you to do His bidding. And a lot of times why we settle for activity instead of productivity is because activity at least still looks like we're doing something. And we settle for looking like we're doing something rather than actually doing something. Because it's easier to be active than it is to be productive. I know it's a simple thought, but as it just began to hit me this afternoon, I begin to think about how I minister, how I participate, even just how I conduct my regular work days and what we do and how we manage and all that. It just began to really impact me to the fact that there's things in me that God wants to pull out that can make me more productive in His kingdom. And I want to place myself in a position to get stirred up for Him. Amen. Let's gather around these altars this evening. Let's have us a time of prayer. Let's let God stir us up.